Motorway services, a feeling I don't get anywhere else. Lives unfolding in front of you. Lorry drivers taking the air, reps planning itineraries, a business call here, an act of adultery there. Already the day is beginning to fill with lies. No one's noticed me. That's why I love these places. People ignore the evidence before their eyes. The chaos that every human face conceals. Once, at Birch Services on the M62, I heard a man shoot himself. I must have been one of a dozen people who heard the gun go off. Car backfiring, someone said. Well, I found the explanation in the evening news when I got home. A man called George Humpage, apparently depressed because his wife had left him, had taken his own life with a shotgun. He'd borrowed the gun from a farmer, claiming he wanted to shoot rabbits. I mean, what kind of a world is it where you can't commit suicide without telling a lie? I'll go and have breakfast in a minute. A long, slow breakfast in the cafeteria. Lots of coffee. After that, I'll have a pee, then find a phone and give him a ring.
Jude speaking.
Jude, it's me.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you on your own?
Yes. Look, Paul, I've only just got to work.
Me too.
I mean, it's only 9:20.
I know. I just wanted to hear your voice.
Well, you've heard it.
It's fantastic.
Good. Now, can we get on with some work?
Did you enjoy last night?
What?
Last night?
It was great, apart from the fish.
I meant after the meal.
Yeah, that was great too.
Was it?
Yes.
What was wrong with the fish?
I told you last night, it was chewy.
Chewy?
You had to chew it. You shouldn't have to chew fish.
I'm sorry.
Look, I'm not blaming you for the fish, Paul.
Aren't you?
No.
You didn't mention it last night.
What?
The fish being chewy. Last night you said it were delicious.
Did I?
So this morning it's become chewy.
Look, Paul, I have work to do.
I'll hang up then.
Right. Well, go on then, hang up.
There's something else.
What?
Marion rang.
When?
Before I got in. She left a message on the answering machine. She's at Leicester Forest East.
She's where?
Leicester Forest East. The service is on the M1.
So what?
Well, she should be going to Darlington today. She's supposed to be meeting O'Hara to pitch for the catalogue.
She's probably just breaking the journey.
Oh, Jude, Leicester is south of here. Darlington is north. How can she get to Darlington if she's travelling south?
I see.
Why did you send her? Why didn't you go yourself?
I didn't send her. Arthur sent her.
How could Arthur send her? Arthur's on holiday.
Before he went, Marion asked him if she could see O'Hara this time instead of me.
And he agreed.
Yes. What else did she say?
What?
In a message.
Nothing. Just that she was at Leicester Forest East.
What's she playing at?
I've no idea.
You'd better ring her.
What?
She's got a Carford and a Sierra. Arthur had it put in for her. Ring her and ask her what she's playing at.
I love motorway driving. You go into a trance. You look at the signs. London, 110 miles, 96 miles, 88 miles. Distances shrink by the minute. By the second. And the only world that exists is the one in your own head. Alice is here again. She's in the back seat. I can see her in the rearview mirror. She asked me a question just now. Is there any hope for the planet, Mum? I didn't answer. I started a conversation about windmills.
There was no answer, Jude.
From Marion?
There was no answer from her car phone.
I see.
You know why? Because she isn't in the Sierra.
What do you mean?
She won't drive the Sierra.
But it's her car. It's the company car Arthur gave her.
I know, but she won't drive it.
Why?
She says the boot's too big. She says she prefers her Mini.
But her Mini's clapped out. It's full of rot. Well, that's why Arthur got her the Sierra.
I know, but she refuses to drive it.
Because the boot's too big.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, right.
So I can't contact her to ask her why she's at Leicester Forest East.
No, we'll just have to ignore her.
How can we ignore her, Jude, when she's supposed to be seeing O'Hara in Darlington? How can she sell this company to O'Hara if she doesn't go to Darlington?
It's not our problem, it's Arthur's.
But Arthur isn't here.
I know. He's in Barnstable.
Barnstable?
Yes.
He told me he was going to Ibiza.
Officially, he's in Ibiza. Unofficially, I happen to know he's in Barnstable. He's having a jolly. He's taken Mildred. He's decided she needs more attention, so he's taken her to Barnstable. He's hoping to do some fishing.
Why doesn't he want people to know he's having his jolly in Barnstable?
You know Arthur. He guards his privacy. He's careful who knows about his movements.
So what shall we do about marrying?
I don't know. I'll think about it.
We need to do something.
Leave it with me.
We can't just...
I said, leave it with me, Paul.
I came off the motorway. Well, I felt like a change. Found this lay-by on the A508 near a place called Stony Stratford. There's no one else about. Something's happening to me. I tried to tell the doctor last week that something was happening. I told him I kept getting this feeling. What feeling, he said? It's like grief, I said. Ah, because of Alice, he said. I told him it was nothing to do with Alice. I told him it was grief for the world. Grief is usually specific, he said. Well, in my case, it isn't, I told him. Are you quite sure? He said. Then I remembered about my ponies. I explained that I'd never properly said goodbye to the ponies I'd had as a child. They simply disappeared from my life, and now, suddenly, at 42 years of age, I was filled with a sense of loss. Perfectly natural, he said, giving me a funny look. Perfectly natural to feel sexy about horses, too, even at your age. I told him I didn't feel sexy about them, but was simply sad I'd never said goodbye to them. But he wasn't listening. He was writing out a prescription. These aren't tranquilizers, he lied. Not as such. I've still got the prescription in my purse. I'm bored, Mum. Let's go, Alice says. I'll drive on into Stony Stratford in a minute. I'll buy an ice cream and sit in the sun. After that, I'll fax them.
She just sent me a fax, Jude.
Who?
Marion, from Stony Stratford.
Where?
It's in Buckinghamshire. I looked it up on the map.
What does it say?
It says, I'm not going to see O'Hara because he's a drooling sexist bastard.
She's gone mad.
What are you going to do?
I'll ring O'Hara. Tell him she isn't coming.
He won't be pleased. O'Hara's been rumbling lately. He says there are people at Mashiba who'd like to see us lose the account. He says there are people who think we're a joke outfit. We could get blown out, Jude.
Oh, they could sack her. I've tried to warn him. I've tried to get him to understand that Marion can't write copy and she can't sell the company.
Oh, Arthur won't sack her. Marion was here before any of us. She's part of the furniture.
Oh, what shall I do?
Ring O'Hara. Tell him you'll go up in person tomorrow and pitch for the catalogue.
Driving west again. I keep discovering these lovely country lanes. I've just passed through a village called Finmere. There wasn't much happening in Stony Stratford. I bought my ice cream from a large red-faced man who looked like a retired general. Stony Stratford, he said, was noted for its quintessential Englishness. An air of innocence had hung over the place since ancient times. Well, I didn't say anything. I just smiled and paid him. Walking away, I saw a slogan painted on the side of the building. Kill Asian shit, he said. I bought one ice cream. For a moment, almost forgot myself and bought two. The second would have been for Alice.
O'Hara isn't there. He's gone for lunch.
Did you leave him a message?
I can't. He's gone to Danby Whisk.
Where?
To Danby Whisk. It's a village in the middle of nowhere. Marion arranged to meet him there at a pub to pitch for the catalogue.
So there's no way of contacting him?
No. And what's more, he's got Mr. Tanaka with him.
Who?
Mr. Tanaka from the parent company.
O'Hara won't be happy about sitting in a pub in the middle of nowhere when he's got Mr. Tanaka with him. He'll be very embarrassed.
I know.
We're going to get blown out, Jude.
This is giving me a migraine.
You see what this is all about, don't you?
What?
This isn't an accidental cock-up. It's intentional. Marion doesn't like it. She doesn't like you, Jude.
What do you mean?
She doesn't like your relationship with Arthur.
What relationship? What are you saying, Paul?
Well, I'm not saying anything, but Marion...
Marion what?
Well, once. Once I said to her it was amazing how well you got on since you came to work here for Buchanan Creations, and she said... She said...
Said what, Paul?
She said women like that know how to get on.
What are you suggesting?
I'm not suggesting anything, Jude.
Look, Arthur brought me in to revamp this company, Paul. He knew my talents. I haven't failed him. I've given him my all.
I think that's what Marion means.
That's a damn lie.
I know it's a damn lie.
Did you tell her it was a damn lie? Paul?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
Well, thanks.
She knows about us.
What?
Marion knows about us.
How do you know?
I can tell.
Shit.
It isn't true, is it?
What?
What she's saying about you and Arthur.
Of course it isn't. Don't you believe me?
Why do you always keep me in the background, Jude? Why can't we be public about our relationship?
Look, let's meet for lunch.
What?
12:30 at the Cheshire Cheese.
You always said we shouldn't lunch together.
Paul, it's all right. 12:30 the Cheese, okay?
I found this pub in a place called Whitney. The law seats. Fake beams. A landlady with orange hair. Full of salesmen having lunch. Crumpled men in crumpled suits looking sad, eating scampi, and making intermittent jokes about knickers. I just had a prawn salad. There were no prawns in it, not that I could find anyway. You can bring children into pubs at lunchtime. So Alice is sitting beside me. Earlier, I found, to my complete surprise, that I was weeping. Sitting here at lunchtime in a place called Whitney amongst total strangers, weeping. I hadn't realised. It was when the orange-haired lady brought my prawn salad which had no prawns in it that I found out. Are you all right? She asked as I paid her. And then I noticed the wetness on my cheeks. I told her I was fine. I thought of telling her about my ponies, but decided against it. Well, you're quite a bit brighter now. When I finish this drink, I'll ring the office. They should be at lunch.
Paul, what happened? Why weren't you at lunch?
I couldn't make it.
Why not?
I can't tell you.
What do you mean you can't tell me? I waited for an hour and a bloody quarter in the Cheese and you didn't come.
I did come.
What?
I came to the Cheese. I looked through the window. I saw you waiting, but I couldn't come in.
Why, for God's sake?
Because of my teeth.
What?
My teeth. Just before lunch, three of them fell out.
Fell out?
They just broke. Disintegrated. They were only held in with wire. And they fell to pieces. Suddenly, totally, without warning. Before lunch.
Oh, Paul, I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
I feel for you.
How can I do this job without teeth? How can I sell this company without teeth? How can I face you without teeth, Jude?
Well, I never knew your teeth were in this condition, Paul.
Well, now you do.
Yeah.
Is it all right? And my teeth are like this?
Of course it is.
People are imperfect, Jude. Bodies. We spend half our time trying to say the opposite.
Look, it doesn't matter about your teeth. Honestly, teeth aren't that important to me. Neither's hair.
What do you mean, neither's hair?
Your hair's coming out. It's loose.
What do you mean, loose?
Sometimes, after you've slept in my bed, I find your hair on my pillow.
You never told me this before.
Oh, it isn't that important.
Well, why mention it now? You aren't in perfect condition, Jude.
What?
Marion says you've had operations.
What operations?
It says...
Says what?
I can't tell you.
Paul.
She says tits don't stick out at that angle without help.
Jesus Christ! And you believed her?
There are scars on your body, Jude, that you've never explained.
Well, of course there are scars, Paul. A woman of my age is entitled to a few scars. Why should I have to explain them to you?
Look, it isn't me that...
What's more, it's these tits that have got this company on its feet. Did you tell Marion that?
No.
Well, you bloody should.
Jude, something else happened at lunch. Marion left another message.
Saying what?
At Buchanan Creations, we're incapable of telling the truth.
Christ almighty! She's gone mental. She'll have to go. Arthur's got to fire her.
I've told you, Arthur won't fire her. If he fires anyone, it'll be me.
And why should he fire you?
Arthur doesn't like rivals. That's what Marion says.
But you aren't Arthur's rival. How could you be his rival?
I don't know, Jude. You tell me.
Paul, you're overwrought. Take the rest of the day off. See a dentist.
I don't want to see a bloody dentist.
Well, you can't sit in that office forever with broken teeth.
Well, that's what I feel like doing. I'm frightened, Jude. Jude?
What?
What do you think of me, really?
I think you're an okay guy, Paul.
Was that all?
Well, what else can I say?
I don't know.
Tell me. I mean, that's a compliment. I mean, for me, it's a big compliment to say you're an okay guy.
This isn't Manhattan Island, Jude.
I know.
It's not London either.
I know.
So why do we pretend that it is?
I don't pretend.
Calling an okay guy would be all right if this was Manhattan. Here it sounds funny.
Why?
Because this isn't Manhattan or London. It isn't even bloody Manchester. It's sodding Ramsbottom.
What are you saying, Paul?
Have you never asked yourself if there isn't something fundamentally wrong with Buchanan Creations? Have you ever wondered if there isn't a fundamental flaw in the whole concept of an advertising agency in Ramsbottom?
No, Paul, I haven't.
Well, I have.
Paul, take a rest. Put your feet up, lower the blinds, take a little nap.
How can I do
that? Paul, do it.
I've made an extraordinary discovery. I've just driven through a place called Bishop's Cross for the third time. Together with two places called Hoddleston and Upton Magna, it forms a triangle. I keep driving around the triangle. In its centre is a large, low hill. You can see it from the road. It's surrounded by a tall security fence. Even at a distance, you can see the outlines of the missile silos. I'm certain that's what they are. I keep remembering the question Alice asked me way back on the M1. Is there any hope for the planet, Mum? Is it any wonder I changed the subject? Alice would have been 11 next month. Well, I'd better push on. Can't keep circling this missile dump forever. I have to get to Cirencester by 5 so that I can send them another message.
Paul, I've worked it out. God, I'm so relieved. Listen, Marion had a child that died, didn't she? Before I came to work here.
A little girl. What of it?
That's why she's gone mad. It's grief.
And why does she have to take it out on us?
She isn't taking it out on us.
Yes, she is.
That's why Arthur's got a soft spot for her. Because her child died.
He had a soft spot for her before her child died. He's always had a soft spot for her.
Arthur's like that. He's fond of his stuff.
He isn't fond of me, Jude.
Paul, relax. She's just freaked. You ain't past it, kid. You're a whiz. Put your feet up. Have a speak. Phone the dentist.
Should I?
I insist.
4 miles to Cirencester. Oh, I'm beginning to get excited. I know I should keep calm, but I can't seem to help it. I can't help what I'm doing. There's no going back now. No going back at all.
She just backs me again. From Cirencester.
What does it say?
It says, tonight the truth will be told. What does she mean, Jude? Jude?
Paul, it's after 5. Look, I've got to get home.
But what does she mean?
Look, come round to my place later.
When?
7.
Cirencester was like a dream. A sandwich, 2 minutes to the fax, then back on the road. I've just been through Taunton. Still sticking to the back roads. I prefer them. These strange Devon lanes. High hedges. And then out onto Exmoor. Suddenly I'm weeping again. I can feel my cheeks streaming. Weeping in the dusk, crossing Exmoor. Just now, Alice asked me why I was weeping. I told her it was because I'd never said goodbye to my ponies. Well, say it now, she said. So I did. Goodbye, Cherry. Goodbye, Bravo. Goodbye, Star. Somehow it felt all right. Crossing Exmoor, weeping, and saying goodbye to my ponies, and Alice listening in the back of the car.
Paul? Paul, is that you? Paul?
It's me.
I thought you were coming round.
I can't.
What?
I can't move.
Why?
I'm dead.
What do you mean you're dead?
My teeth are broken, my hair's falling out, and I know what Marion's doing.
Oh, Marion's freaked, that's all. Forget Marion.
It's more than that, Jude.
What do you mean?
Do you know where Arthur is?
I told you, in Barnstable.
Where in Barnstable?
Ship Hotel.
That's where she's going.
Why would she do that?
To tell Arthur about us.
She wouldn't do that.
I've looked at the map. I've plotted a course. That's where she's heading. You can see it.
You're imagining it.
There's no other explanation. I'm dead, Jude. As soon as Arthur knows about us, I'm finished. I can feel it. I'll get blown out. What am I going to do, Jude, if I get blown out? Who's going to give a job to a man with broken teeth and loose hair?
Oh, let's not panic. She wouldn't tell Arthur about us.
Why not?
Because...
I parked right outside the hotel. It's dark. I keep looking up at the lighted windows and wondering which room they're in. It's nearly 9:30. Alice died at 9:55. I think I'll hang on another 20 minutes, then go in. Something appropriate about that. I'm not doing this to punish him. I'm doing it because the truth needs to be told. I don't feel any anger. I've come over very calm for some reason. I don't expect it to change anything either. The world will continue with its lies till, in the end, we all choke on them. But until then, there'll still be the occasional spasm of honesty. This is one of them. Alice was honest. I can't eat because of the injections they keep giving me, Mum, she said. And if people don't eat, they die, don't they? I didn't answer her.
Who is this? Is it you, Paul?
I just rang Arthur in Barnstaple.
You what?
To tell him if Marion suddenly turns up, not to believe a word she says.
You idiot! That means he will believe her.
It doesn't matter.
Why?
Arthur isn't with his wife in Barnstaple.
What?
When I told him not to believe a word Marion said, I could hear a woman tittering in the background.
Well, that'd be her. That would be Mildred.
No, Jude. It wasn't her. They weren't Mildred's titters. They were the titters of a younger woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? Arthur's got a woman with him that isn't his wife.
I should have known. I mean, me of all people, I really should. For some reason, I'd assume for once in his life he'd been telling the truth. Instead of Mildred, there's this drunken girl answers the door. Angie, she said, giggling. Arthur's on the phone. She looked about 14. I went in and found that Arthur just finished his phone call. He was sitting on the edge of the bed. He looked up to see me like a man in a dream. He began to say something about Paul and Jude, but I interrupted. This has nothing to do with Paul and Jude, I said. I came here to see Mildred. I came to tell her what she should have been told 11 years ago, that Alice was your child. Dead silence. Dee began to giggle, and then saw that it wasn't a joke. Arthur looked like he'd been hit on the back of the neck by a large brick. Mildred's at home, he said eventually. There's nothing to stop you ringing her. He looked at the floor. I picked up the phone and began to dial. And then suddenly he was saying it. I loved Alice, he said. I loved her. I loved her. You denied all responsibility for her, I shouted. I loved her from a distance, and I grieved for her from a distance, he said. And then clutched his stomach and began to make a moaning sound. Somewhere in the room, Dee had switched a radio on because she was frightened. I loved her. Arthur kept repeating above the sound of the radio. I'm not doing this to punish you, Arthur, I said. And I'm not doing it to punish your sex. I'm doing it because occasionally the truth needs to be told. Suddenly it was staring up at me. Are you quite sure, Marion? He asked. The phone was beginning to ring in my hand, and then there was Mildred saying hello. I put the receiver down. I want to go home. Dee was whispering as I walked out.
Yes?
It's me.
What is it?
I just wanted to hear your voice, Paul.
It's nearly midnight.
All the same.
I'm tired, Jude.
Can I come and see you?
It's too late.
I'd like to, Paul.
What's he like?
Who?
Arthur, in bed. Did you find his hair on your pillow in the morning?
Oh, Paul, I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't matter.
Paul, I love you.
Jude.
I mean it.
I don't believe you, Jude.
Paul, please. I do. I mean, the feel of your skin, your voice, the way you sometimes cradle my head in the night.
Jude.
Paul, I do.
Marion just paged me.
What?
I was sitting here just now and my pager bleeped.
What was the message?
One word.
What?
Sorry.
I looked for a high cliff above the town, but I couldn't find one. I found a late-night chemist, though, and exchanged the prescription I've been carrying round with me. Then potted along the coast to this spot. I can see the sea, dark and placid under the moonlight. It's beautiful. I picked up 4 bottles of ginger wine from an off-license as I left the town. Screwtop, which was lucky since I haven't got an opener. I malign the doctor. The pills are actually antidepressants, not tranquilizers. Optimax, they're called. Wonderful name. Thought up by some whiz kid in an advertising agency, no doubt. I was going to take the lot with the ginger wine. Well, in the end, I just had the ginger wine. I threw the Optimax in the bushes. It was a wonderful sensation. I'm feeling tons happier already. Better than I have for ages. Arthur meant what he said about Alice, about loving her. I almost missed it. People can mean what they say. You can miss it. Hunting the lie. I can't feel Alice with me anymore. It's a good thing. I've got to start letting her go. There's a couple making love in a car at the other end of the lay-by. I think that's what they're doing. Every so often a pair of buttock sails into view, pale under the moonlight. I find it oddly heartwarming. I mean, you've got to give people credit, really. Their effort is not their achievement. Mind you, I'm glad for once Alice isn't with me. No idea how I'd explain it to her. Innocence is wonderful, isn't it? Till you lose it.
Barnstaple was written by Neil Mackay. Gwen Taylor played Marion, Alison Steadman, Jude, and Wayne Foskett, Paul. Barnstaple was directed in Manchester by Susan Hogg.